Well, good morning again. We this morning are going to talk a little bit about Advent. And, you know, this time of year is a mixed bag for a lot of people. It's very hard for many. It may remind us of things in the past that are difficult. It may remind us of those that are not here to celebrate with anymore. It may give us an opportunity to get lost in the shuffle of the activity. And that can be overwhelming. And I have to confess that sometimes I fall into that category as well. I get so busy that I just don't pay attention to the real reason for Christmas. Well, this morning, the Christmas story is something that really should be familiar to all of us as Christians, shouldn't it? We've all heard about the birth of Jesus. We've all heard about what happened that night, that time when Jesus was born. So it's familiar. And the other thing about familiarity is it can cause us to lose the shimmer, the glory of what it really is. And we can oftentimes lose sight of that and not want to understand the full depth of what all that means. What it means that Jesus came to the earth. We just want to understand that in a deeper way. You know, sometimes when recently in the last few years, we took a trip out to Colorado, and it was the first time I had seen the Rocky Mountains in person. And I was enamored with it, you know, just the beauty of it. But yet, I'm sure if I lived there year round, I wouldn't spend the time to admire. I wouldn't spend the time to enjoy that beauty. And I come back here, and it's flat. It's really flat. Now, this is something that only engineers probably would appreciate, but, you know, we talk a lot about elevation of the ground, and I worked on a project in a county east of here along Lake Erie, and I joked that I could tell you the elevation of the ground within a foot anywhere in the county, because it didn't vary very much. I could probably tell you within a foot what the ground elevation was in any given spot, because it was all within about 5 feet, other than one spot in the county. And I happen to know where that was. But we tend to lose sight of the glory when we become familiar. And I'm hoping this morning, as we look at the life of Simeon, which we don't know much about Simeon, but what we know is enough. We're going to look at Simeon and see what glory he was waiting for. And hopefully that's something that we can remember this year and hopefully next year. You know, as we think about these things, familiarity is a good thing as well. Because as we know something intimately, we can spend the time to dig out the deeper things. If you're not familiar with something, all you see is what's on the surface. So familiarity can also be a good thing. You know, as we were singing that first song this morning, just one thought that I want to interject here is, As we think about the Lord Jesus coming to the earth, remember that this is something that he did willingly. This is God incarnate. Come to the earth to suffer, to die, and to be raised up on the third day. In the song, there was a line in the song that just hit me really hard. It's, he's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Do I live my life that way? Is he really all I need? And hopefully as we walk through this a little bit, we can unpack this and see, I've just thrown a lot of miscellaneous information at you to begin with. Hopefully as we walk through this, we can unpack this, unfold it a little bit, and see that he is all we need. But how do we live that way? Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We ask for your blessing on this time. Lord, would you use the words of my mouth for your glory? Father, would you minister to our hearts this morning? Father, there just seems to be so much heartache around. Whether it's physical suffering or emotional struggles because of being isolated. I think of those who are in nursing homes this morning, Father, and I ask you to meet with them today, to be their all in all. Father, we think of those who have health conditions and are not able to be around people right now. And Father, would you minister your grace to them? And Father, those who are struggling with fear, anxiety, because maybe they've lost their job, would you be with them? Would you be their everything this morning? Father, we cling to you. We know that you are our hope. We know that you are the promised Savior that was foretold in the Old Testament. And this morning, as we see the prophets at the time of Jesus' birth, are speaking of your birth as a magnificent, wonderful thing. And it is so glorious that even the angels came down to praise you as you arrived on the earth. Father, what a joy to be able to recount this story to us. I'm sure as you did that, you displayed a smile on your face. We just thank you this morning. Father, we ask for that power. The Holy Spirit filling each of us this morning to hear from you. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we talk about the story of Jesus, I wanted to talk about his birth. And it's actually after his birth that I'm going to focus on. But this morning, as we do this, as we walk through these verses, let's look at Luke chapter 22, or chapter 2, verse 22. Start there. And then we'll back up and look at the whole birth story, just an overview as we kind of walk through it together. So Luke 2, 22. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in spirit to the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and he blessed God and he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, in the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So as we're talking about this time of year and Advent, you know, that's a word that we hear a lot. Advent is something that is meant for preparation for the coming. You know, I would venture to guess that if you were to get a special guest visit your home, you know, say someone that you just admire and look up to, you'd probably like a little advance notice, wouldn't you? You'd like some time to prepare. Well, this is an opportunity for us as believers every year at this time to just go back to why we remember this time of year, why we celebrate Christmas. While we look forward maybe to giving gifts and receiving gifts, the real reason is because of the birth of our Savior, his coming to the earth. Advent is a time to refocus our attention on proper priorities. It's a time to slow down from the busyness of life, from the season. You know, oftentimes the Christmas season is filled with so much in the way of parties, activity. We've got to do this, we've got to do that we lose sight of why we do what we do. And it's also a time where we prepare in our minds for why we celebrate this season, the special coming of a special child. And just as Simeon was promised that he would see the Lord Jesus before he died, we all need to remind ourselves of that, just as we did this morning during the breaking of bread, that the Lord is coming back for us, that he is our promise, that he is the one who fills us, sustains us, and keeps us. He is all we need. The first Sunday of Advent is sometimes referred to as the Sunday of Hope. And that is, you know, those who use an Advent wreath, and the first Sunday is often referred to as the Sunday of Hope, which is originally called the candle of prophecy. And it focuses on the prophecies that point to the Lord Jesus, his coming, his specific arrival as a child, and all the events that were in that arrival. And as we walk through it, I have become so appreciative of Luke and his descriptive language of the time when Christ was born. As I've studied through this year, and even in a few years past, I've done the same thing, but it's so easy for me to get busy and to rush through and to continue on that I need to force myself to stop, to enjoy, and to appreciate what God has done in bringing His Son to the earth. What a joy. What an experience Simeon had. This event changed human history. This event was the hope of the whole Jewish nation. Jesus was the Messiah, the one who was promised, and all of Israel was looking for Him. But only a few actually saw Him. And it's interesting as we look at Luke chapter 1, and it talks in verse 5 about Zechariah and Elizabeth and their son. And it talks in the days of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest in verse 5 named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Both were advanced in years. So here's a couple of old people. I'm not saying that derogatorily. I'm one of them. I'm an old people. But they are old, advanced in years, and they have no child. But yet they are righteous. So the reason that they didn't have a child wasn't because they weren't good enough. God was planning something bigger for them. And it came when they were advanced in years. One thing that I've learned is I don't really have much patience. If I had to wait till I was this old to have children, I probably would have, I don't know what. I know right now I'd be a lot more worn out than I am after having watched our two grandkids yesterday for a short period of time. Now, while he was serving in verse 8 as priest before the Lord, we see that an angel arrived, right? And told him what was going to happen. And I like the first reaction that he has. His first reaction is, I'm afraid because this angel showed up. And the angel told him not to be afraid, but told him he was going to have a son. Reassured him. And as we look at that, as we think about that, God's glory is so much greater than us, isn't it? Our first response when we see God's glory on display is to recoil because of our weakness, because of our sin. We cannot stand in the presence of God without His comfort. But He gives His comfort. He provides that. So as we think about that, as we read through this a little bit more, down in verse 18, we see Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years." You know, here he's fallen down in fear, basically, and now he's saying, "I don't believe you, Mr. Angel. Why should I believe you?" And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you, to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words." which were fulfilled, will be fulfilled in their time. You know, it's interesting that God didn't come and say, you're going to have a baby tomorrow. No, it will be fulfilled in the proper time. He still never gives us an exact date here when John's going to be born. But he later on, it says in verse 24, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden. And it's one of those things that God just displays himself in ways that are so magnificent. And then in verse 26, we hear that Gabriel goes to Mary, and Joseph first, and then Mary. And they talk to, they recognize this, but they really don't talk about it much. Mary, of course, has an opportunity to visit Elizabeth. She goes to visit Elizabeth and has this wonderful prayer song. And then in verse 57, John the Baptist is born. And we see that unfold and how God displays his glory again through Zechariah. And they both, Elizabeth and Zechariah, named the baby John. And when Zechariah writes that on the tablet and speaks then, everybody's afraid again because of God's glory being on display. But then we turn to chapter 2, and it's interesting to me. Here the first 80 verses of Luke, the first chapter, is devoted to preparation for the birth of Jesus. The prophets of that time were declaring what was to come. Zechariah was one of them. It's interesting that it specifically says as well in that chapter that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actively involved in this process. But then the first 7 verses of Luke chapter 2 are about the birth of Jesus. 7 verses. It's almost like, yeah, they went to this place and that place, and there wasn't a hotel for them to stay in, so they stayed in a manger and Jesus was born. And that's about all it is. And I thought, that is just interesting. And that's a whole other subject that maybe we'll deal with some other day. But as you look at that, Mary and Joseph are not the ones declaring that their son is the Messiah. It is others who are declaring that Jesus is the long-awaited one. And then in verse 8, we get the story of the shepherds out in the field in the same region, keeping watch over their flock at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And again, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, not death and destruction. News of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And told them about the baby that they would find. And it's interesting that here's where as I read through this, I pictured God the Father in all kinds of excitement. He couldn't hardly contain himself in that he sent angels down to sing praise at this point. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. He sent the angels down to glorify this event. And the angels left and the shepherds went over to Bethlehem. And then we get to Simeon's presentation of his final rejoicing with the Lord. And we see that in verse 22 through 25, and when the time had come for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. So we see that he was in Jerusalem. He was there, and he was a righteous and devout man, a Jew, advanced in years. Another old man who is here to proclaim the birth of this baby. He was awaiting the fulfillment of a promise from God. You know, have we ever felt or thought God promised us something specific? Do you just kind of sit around and forget about it? It's probably the center of your focus most of the time, isn't it? And the trouble is sometimes our own hearts are deceitful and wicked, and they can deceive us. But in this case, Simeon was definitely hearing from the Lord. And in those days of the prophets, he was a prophet. He was awaiting the fulfillment of his promise from God. He was also waiting for the comfort of Israel. Consolation means comfort. And it says here that he was also filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was in Simeon. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 26, it says, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before the Lord's, he had seen the Lord's Christ. This was the promise that he was awaiting. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he's waiting in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's filled him. The Holy Spirit moved him to go to the temple. And I'm curious. I don't know the answer to this. But did he know that this was the day when he went to the temple? I would venture to say he didn't. It doesn't say that in the text. It merely says that he was moved to go to the temple. But when he got to the temple and he saw Jesus, he knew this was the day. He knew who Jesus was. The Holy Spirit was probably leaping inside of him as he saw the baby Jesus. Just as the baby John in his mother's womb leapt for joy when Elizabeth saw Mary, and Jesus wasn't even born yet. That baby knew the king was in his presence, just as Simeon knew that the king was in his presence at this time. So as we think about that, the Holy Spirit is working at this period of time. Now remember, this is before Pentecost. This is something that happened before the Christ was revealed to all of mankind. We really don't know much about Simeon, other than he was devout and he was righteous. But we also know, because of other readings in Scripture, that that's not the reason that he was selected to be this mouthpiece or this spokesman, that this is the Christ. Again, it's not Mary and Joseph arriving at the temple saying the Messiah is here. It is a devout Jew. It is someone who's aged and basically ready to pass the torch. So as we think about that, as we look at the Holy Spirit moving him to the temple and lifting him up, we see in verse 28 that he, Simeon, took him in his arms, took him up and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." In other words, God, you are faithful. You have answered your prayer. You have answered your promise to me. You have answered your promise, and I have seen it fulfilled to the people of Israel. In verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This would have been, under normal circumstances in the temple, something of close to blasphemy to talk about the Gentiles being God's favor shown to them. But Simeon is calling out right here that Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. We think of Peter being the apostle to the Gentiles. Simeon is a prophet to the Gentiles, making them know that this Savior opens the door for Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. You know, you would think if the Jews had been waiting for centuries for their Savior and he arrives, they would fall on their faces in worship. But most did not. Most were given to the religious system of the day and didn't want to give that up. But Simeon, as he was in the presence of the king, blessed God first. He lifted him up and he blessed God. And he said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." He was fulfilled. Jesus was everything that he needed. And he got to experience Jesus in person. Yes, as an infant, before he had done any of his miracles, before he had taught anything at all, he didn't need that. He just needed Jesus. Simeon was content. He was fully content with Jesus. Jesus Christ is God's salvation for all peoples. For everyone, a revelation to the Gentiles, to accept them into his kingdom, and his glory is revealed through what had been taught in the prophets in the Old Testament as it was fulfilled. It was the answer that everyone had been waiting for. The entire earth was awaiting the arrival of the Messiah. Not everybody knew that they were, but the earth was groaning and still groans for the Lord to come back. And then in verse 33, we also see down in verse 36, that there's another old person, advanced in years, Anna, who is a prophetess. And she sees the Lord Jesus and she worships him and thanks God. And she speaks to all the others, telling them who Jesus is. So throughout the course of this, we have three different groups of old people who are displaying the glory of God through this baby. And that times are changing. You know, it's a lot easier to, for me in the past, it has been a lot easier for me to take change from someone who's experienced and seasoned. When someone's young and new and fresh, as people, it's harder for us to accept new things from them. But when we see change in an older person, we know something serious is going on because we tend to be set in our ways. But as we think about Anna, who came to worship God, we recognize this transition from law to grace. Verse 38, and coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. They were awaiting redemption. The Lord opened the door of grace with these older Jews who were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the one common thread throughout this whole first two chapters, is those who were proclaiming were filled with the Holy Spirit, or angels who just came from the presence of God. Their special place in history was used by God to reveal the Savior of the world. Simeon knew what he was looking for. He knew Jesus was all he needed. He knew that Jesus was the Savior of the world, God incarnate. He knew the promised Messiah was to come to the earth as a baby. Simeon wasn't expecting an old man to come and rule as a king, like many of the Jews. He recognized him as a baby. The Holy Spirit revealed the precious Lamb of God as a baby that we remembered earlier this morning. We remembered his finishing work earlier. Now we're talking about his arrival as king. It wasn't a kingly arrival, was it? It wasn't heralded throughout all the earth. It was heralded to a few. And it was spread from there to the whole earth. You know, our hearts tend to get in the way of pure worship and adoration of our Savior. We think that stuff and things will make us happy. You know, it's hard to convince a healthy person that they need healing. It's hard to convince a wealthy man that $10 is worth much. But as we understand the depravity of our own hearts, as we understand that nothing but Jesus can fulfill us, it gives us hope, it gives us comfort and peace to know that He is the one. We think it's so easy to make ourselves happy. If we just had this, whatever it is, if my life was just like theirs, I'd be happy. If I didn't have this in my life, if I didn't have this pain, if I hadn't lost this loved one, if there wasn't cancer on the earth, I'd be happy. No. I can say that with certainty. If we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon tells us. He tells us that it's all vanity. It's all vanity. Solomon, he tried it all. He had everything. In verse 9, it says, "So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them." That's pretty much everything. Anything he desired, he had. Remember that. "I kept my heart from no pleasure." He experienced all the pleasures of life. "For my heart found pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it. And behold, all was vanity." All was vanity and a striving after wind. Have you ever tried to chase the wind? I can tell you, I've tried to chase an important paper that was blowing like crazy in the wind. I couldn't catch it, let alone the wind. "And there was nothing to be gained under the sun except Jesus." Except Jesus. I have really been convicted that I have not been living like Jesus is all I need. But I recognize over the last several months in the struggles that we've been dealing with, that the more I see struggle and strife in our lives, the more I recognize that Jesus is all I need. He is the only thing that gives us sustaining power to go on. When we're in pain and the pain won't go away, it's so hard to say, "All I need is Jesus." Because the human answer becomes, "All I need is Jesus and a pain pill." When somebody around us is suffering and we want to say, "I want to take that pain from you," and we can't, "All I need is Jesus." How do we live that? All I need is Jesus. And folks, the promise that Simeon saw, that he came to the earth as a baby. He died on the earth and was raised again. And he has made a place for us in heaven with him forever for us to enjoy. What a promise that he will keep. We can't keep it. But as long as we remember that Jesus is enough, he sustains us. Father, we praise you this morning for Jesus. We praise you for this baby that came to the earth, that was declared righteous by all of these prophets that were mentioned this morning, by prophets of old as well, but the glory that was displayed that day, Lord Jesus, that you were born. And prior to and after, what precious and wonderful gifts. We thank you, we praise you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.